Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all the issues of The Jinx. That's a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941. And a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable 90-some years later. Spoiler alert, the answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 12 today, which contains The Editorial by Theodore Animan, Thoughts in General by Theodore Animan, The Solitaire King by Theodore Animan, and Four Aces on the Stage by Theodore Animan. It's a Ted Animan issue. Animan's editorial opens with a pair of excuses for a notebook-heavy issue. August heat that starts at 90 degrees instead of stopping there, and the fact that he's become the substitute mother of an 8-day-old bird dog. He's bottle-feeding a puppy while trying to put together a magic newsletter. He has a couple of things worth highlighting. A man named Vincent Dalband is offering sets of postcard reproductions of historical magicians, with every cent going to a memorial benevolent fund to support magicians who have fallen on hard times. The other item is the effect walking through a ribbon that's been making the rounds. And with it comes the familiar spectacle of everyone jumping on a new trick the moment someone with imagination brings it to the stage. Animan traces the specific history of this one from its origins in the Diane Frame principle through Blackstone's stage version to Dr. Gordon Peck's acclaimed New York presentation, and then asks the question that seems to genuinely frustrate him. Why do magicians wait until someone else does something before they take it up themselves? There are hundreds of published effects sitting unused, he notes, and the moment one person has the vision to do something with one of them, the whole community suddenly discovers it's great. His answer is characteristically blunt. Develop some pride along with your magical ability. He closes with a word about the late Sam Bailey, a dealer he clearly respected, and a reminder that the reputable people in magic are worth appreciating while they're around. And then he goes to feed his puppy. Thoughts in General is Animan's occasional column of miscellaneous stuff, notebook jottings, observations, half-formed ideas, and odds and ends that don't fit neatly anywhere else. He opens with a card puzzle. Deal out 25 cards from a shuffled deck and arrange them into 5 poker hands, each a straight, a flush, or a full house, and you have to use every card. Animan claims it can always be done, though sometimes it'll take you an hour to figure it out, and he offers to help anyone who gets stuck. There's a betting proposition tucked in here too. Fan a shuffled deck face up, and you can nearly always find any 2 named values sitting side by side somewhere in the spread. The odds favor it more than most people would guess. He also mentions a wager involving 3 face-down cards and the likelihood of turning up an ace, deuce, or jack. Again, the math is quietly working in your favor. Now, he's not advocating gambling, he says, just noting it. He then revisits the 7 keys of ballpate effect and describes an improved version that he and Robert Thrasher worked out together. Cleaner method, stronger impact, and a handling that puts a padlock on a spectator's lapel before the key is ever mixed in with the others. A few quick items follow. A shrinking dollar bill stunt Max Holden described in The Linking Ring, built around a simple physical action that produces a surprisingly convincing visual. Animan's patter about Roosevelt's devaluation of the dollar gives it a timely comic frame. And I'm not sure there's ever been a time in my life where someone wasn't talking about the shrinking dollar, so there's an effect that might be evergreen. Then a variation on the canary in a light bulb effect, substituting water for the bird in a way that he finds considerably more striking. He also calls out performers who are still doing card tricks with cop and robber patter in 1935. Use G-Man instead of cop, he says. Make it a manhunt. Keep up with the times. 2 historical effects get substantial attention. The first is the vanishing birdcage. Animan describes a finish that was apparently never widely adopted, in which the performer produces the bird after the cage is gone, defusing any animal welfare concerns with a bit of theatrical misdirection. The second is cards from the pockets, which he traces back to its originator, Herbert Brooks, describing a version that's considerably more layered and convincing than what most performers were doing with it. And he closes with a practical angle for palming a borrowed object into a helper's pocket using nothing more than a card trick as cover. The kind of thing, he says, that's good to know anyway. So it looks like put pocketing, which I've heard of recently, isn't all that new. This next effect is a departure from the usual format because it's not a stage effect or a parlor trick. It's a way to win at solitaire, on purpose, every time. It's the solitaire king. Annemann admits he plays a lot of solitaire and at some point asks himself whether a deck arranged according to one of the standard magical stacking systems could be used to beat one of the well-known solitaire games. After testing several arrangements, he found one that works, the 8-king stack applied to the game known as Canfield. The presentation angle is simple. After doing a few card tricks at a card party, you offer to demonstrate how you can always win at solitaire. False shuffle the stack deck and lay out the game. There's one specific decision point in the middle, but otherwise the game plays itself out to a win. Annemann is modest about his claim. He's not saying he invented the 8-king stack or discovered anything new about solitaire. He's just the one who noticed these two things fit together and thought it would play well at card parties. Full details, including the layout and the rules of Canfield, at jinxnavigator.com. The final effect in issue number 12 is from Annemann, of course, and it's an ambitious piece of stage card magic he calls Four Aces on the Stage. The classic Four Aces effect, normally a close-up trick, gets a full platform treatment here, and Annemann's approach is built around making the whole thing feel completely fair. Four volunteers come up and stand in a line. Each one reaches into the deck and removes an ace themselves. No force, just the first one they find. Each ace gets covered with three face-down cards from the deck. One of the four volunteers is chosen at random. They step aside and hold their cards. The remaining three return their packets to the deck, which gets shuffled, rubber-banded, and tossed out into the audience. Someone in the audience stands up and fans through it looking for aces, tossing them in the air as they find them. But nothing happens. No aces. The selected volunteer steps forward and spreads their cards. All four aces. The method involves a combination of a short card deck, three extra aces, and a sequence of moves that Annemann notes happen at moments when absolutely no one is thinking about the performer's hands, because everyone's attention is on the volunteers and the audience member searching the deck. He offers a second handling for those who don't want to work with trimmed cards, using a different technique to achieve the same result. I am, as I have told you many, many times, not a card guy, but this sounds really cool. This sounds like the kind of effect that would be really fun to perform and see. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It is completely free. Use the contact form on the site. Let me know what you think of the podcast, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 13, which includes Arthur Johnson's Cards and Newspaper. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.